Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Welcome to
Yeah, I was just looking at my dog. She's here. Okay, you can come up here. But I'm telling you right now not to shake. You can come up here and lay down with me. Oh, it's such a struggle. She's so fucking pathetic, honestly. Before we get to today's episode, it's Thanksgiving, and we'd like to share what we're grateful for, which is you, our listeners, and the true crime podcast community. They've helped a freshman podcast like us thrive and grow. Specifically, we'd like to thank Justin at Mysterious Circumstances, whom I've talked to even before we started our podcast. And the way he interacts with his listeners and the community he has built is super respectable. I highly recommend his podcast because of the amount of time and research he puts into it.
Is it me?
Yeah.
We also would like to thank Celine and Jared at Toke Tales Podcast and Rebecca at Thrice Cursed Podcast.
As well as Paige at Reverie True Crime Podcast. Thank you all for everything that you've done for us. And we look forward to having relations with you.
No.
That's what I almost said. See, that's why I stopped. I was like. And we look forward to our continued relationship.
With you guys.
With all y'all.
So thank you.
Heart.
And scene.
Welcome to Mysteretical, where we take a theoretical approach to solving mysteries. So set the turkey timer, steal some stuffing, and grab a cocktail and join us for this week's Mysteretical, The Rapid City Drownings.
I want to say woo-woo, but I don't think I should.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy fucking Thanksgiving, I should say.
Happy fucksgiving?
Happy fucking Thanksgiving. Happy thanks fucksgiving.
What are we saying? Is that like a thing that I'm too old to know what that
is? No, it's just a happy Thanksgiving greeting.
Oh. Like, happy Thanksgiving, you filthy animal? But like,
yeah.
Okay.
Similar.
I'll save that one. I won't say that in this one. I'll save it for Christmas.
Yeah. So what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to Utah, or Utah, as I like to call it, the land of crazy weather.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's where our Farmer's brothers are. So we go every year.
I think I'm just hanging out here with my roommate and my dogs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm nervous about flying.
I'm going to shut my window real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I just flew to Florida.
Yeah, but you didn't fly during, like, a holiday. You know what I mean?
Nope. I mean, yes, I do know what you mean. Just flew before an election. That was it.
Yeah.
It's not, like, a big travel day or anything.
No.
I totally get it. But my flights were full, and the airports were busy.
Wow. Well, it's also Florida, so that's different.
But it was pretty safe. I just wish Gertie's butthole wasn't in that shot.
I live with a cat. His butthole has touched everything.
But it was pretty safe.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had to sit next to people?
Right. Mm. But on my one flight, the lady that sat next to me was really nice. And I didn't talk because I don't normally talk on flights. I just read, you know.
Oh, I keep, even if I'm not listening to anything, I have my headphones on.
Yeah. So there's times where I have my headphones in, but I have them unplugged from my, like, just the notification to people, hey,
yeah,
just don't talk to me.
Which please. I don't mind. Sometimes I'll have a conversation with somebody, but sometimes if they're too talkative and I'm like, I just want to sleep.
Right.
I don't want to be awake.
Yeah. I found myself like reading and then like 5 seconds later, I would be like on the same page. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm awake.
I have a real quick funny airplane story. Well, it's actually a long story, but I'm just going to say one part of it. So I went to France my sophomore year just to visit. I had a friend studying out there. So I went for spring break to hang out with her.
Yeah.
And then on my flight back, I also got lost in Paris by myself. Once you're lost in another country without a phone and like without any money.
Oh, no, nightmare.
I'm good getting lost kind of anywhere. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Unless it's like, I mean, it's at least a, you know, not a third world. It's not the jungle. It's just France. But
right.
I made it barely. I like got to my gate as they were boarding. It's fine. But the woman sitting next to me, she kept reading, but she kept falling asleep for like 6 hours. And I wanted to look at her and be like, can you give up? Just go to bed. You're stressing me out.
For real.
Like, just put your book away. It's been, we're almost there. We're like almost there. Back. It's like
you're
a 9-hour
flight.
Page
from 9 hours ago.
Yeah, it was rough.
That's fun.
It wasn't, but I made it. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. I can't stand long flights. I get really like frustrated.
I just
antsy.
I have to go on walks.
Yeah, I have to be moving.
And then when I usually, if I have a changeover, changeover is when
layover.
Changeover is when you have like a rental property and you have someone leaving in the morning and someone checking in the afternoon. But I'll walk, like if I have time at the Philly airport, even though it's big, because LA, I usually land in gate like C and Portland leaves from F. So it's a walk and I'll walk it if I have time. Cause I'm like, nope, I want to stretch my legs.
That's what I do.
And I'll kind of stand, I'll stand at the gate if I have some time and I'll stretch and I'll like, I like to move around. I'm like, I just sat for 6 hours. I don't need to sit any longer.
No, I usually will stand if I have a layover, like the whole time. Yeah. Just to,
or walk around or.
Yep. Stand and walk.
Yep.
So do you have some Thanksgiving facts for us?
I do. These are not organized in any way.
That's great.
I know. It's great. Thanksgiving began in Massachusetts with the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe in Cape Cod. I apologize for any pronunciation. I grew up there. That's how I learned how to say it, but I don't know if that's like how natives say it. And it started in 1621 between the Pilgrims of Plymouth and the tribe, the Wampanoag tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this thing called Truthsgiving, because the way that people learn about Thanksgiving is just absolute bullshit. So I was just like researching stuff about what really happened. And it was like this quote that I'm about to read was from a Wampanoag activist. And it said, the pilgrims had hardly explored the shores of Cape Cod for 4 days before they had robbed the graves of my ancestors and stole their corn and beans. And it wasn't just one feast. It was like they would dismantle an entire tribe and then celebrate. You know what I mean? And so they would be killing people and then celebrating
it. So that's what the celebration was.
Yeah.
That's what Thanksgiving is the celebration of that?
Basically. So there's no evidence that the Wampanoag people were even invited.
Yeah.
This, it wasn't like a feast between them all. An account from the time said 90 members of the Wampanoag tribe were present and makes no mention of invitations. Some experts believe that these 90 men were an army sent by the leader because there were gunshots, because they were part of the celebration.
Yeah.
Their first encounter with the Wampanoag, the pilgrims stole from the tribe's winter provisions. And they eventually formed an alliance, but by then they were already ravaged by disease. And it was more about survival and just like, please don't kill us, basically.
Yeah.
Or stop stealing our food or.
Right. Get off our land, maybe.
Yeah, literally. And then the first harvest was followed by deadly conflicts between colonizers and native people, including the Wampanoags, but not just them.
Yeah, that'll carry over into our mystery today.
Oh, I bet. The Europeans repaid their native allies by seizing native land and imprisoning, enslaving, and executing native people.
Wow.
Following Thanksgiving celebrations of European settlers often marked brutal victories over native people, like the, oh, I don't know how to say this word, Pequot, Pequot, I'm so sorry, There was a massacre in 1636, which was the beheading of Wampanoag leader. His name either. In 1976. So there's, it's just all bad, basically, which is not shocking. It's not shocking. It's just shocking how
different it is.
Taught is bullshit. So I am going to post this or send this to you so you can put it in our tree link, because it actually has like what you can do about it to raise awareness. You can still visit your family and stuff, but it talks about correct usage of words, how we should talk about it, and like how you can kind of incorporate native traditions into what you do, like serve a native dish or whatever. So I'm going to send it to you so you can add
Perfect.
It,
I know I will. Go. You'll find that in our link tree.
The truth behind Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm just going to go visit family in late November and not celebrate anything. So
I honestly, like, Thanksgiving is my least favorite holiday. Number one, because I really don't like any of the food that's served on Thanksgiving. The only thing I like is, like, mashed potatoes or some of the side dishes, but I don't like turkey. I don't like ham that much. I don't really like any of the food. Cranberry sauce is fucking weird.
Especially when it comes out of a can.
And who's gonna eat freaking sweet foods with their savory foods? I just don't understand that. Sorry if I'm judging you, Lynn.
It's okay. Franz doesn't do that either. I just like sweet and salty.
The sweet potatoes, like, why are you putting marshmallows on sweet potatoes, people? And take the raisins out of every single casserole.
I've never liked casserole. I don't like any type of casserole.
I've always loved casseroles because they're so quick and easy to make. I think that it just depends on the type of casserole that you're making.
I just remember my mom would make, so, because we would do those classic green bean casserole.
Right.
And,
I just like the fried onions on top.
I could just eat those, like the ones they put on sushi.
Yeah.
The little crispy. I could just eat those. Yeah,
tempura.
Yeah, I could just eat those by like the handful. I think they're delicious.
Yeah.
But my thing that she would make every once in a while, she would always make a pumpkin roll.
Oh.
Like pumpkin pie filled with cream, basically, but it's in like a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And she would make, one year she made, she bought a pumpkin and carved it out and filled it with red apples and cinnamon and then
your mother, not only does she have the best teaching curriculum, but she also has these amazing like creative ideas.
And she would make butternut squash soup, which I actually make, but I don't have her recipe. I'm sure it's somewhere. And she made like a spinach. She would make like spinach pie and it was so good. So she had really great, we had some good, really good food on Thanksgiving. But
it sounds amazing. I am sure that my mother made very delicious things. I'm just not a big Thanksgiving food fan.
I mean, I'm vegan now. I can't eat basically anything. So
yeah.
I'm like, corn has butter in it. I'll just pile up the mashed potatoes and just.
Yeah. I will also like to mention that all of our references for our past episode and future episodes will also be linked in our link tree. So there's a reference. There will be a reference doc there where you can open it and see all of our references. For this case, I have a ton of references because this one, like I mentioned to you, Lynn, has never been covered before in any capacity other than news articles that I found. And it was really hard to dig for a lot of the information. So bear with me as I go through a lot of past information and just things that you should know and keep in mind. The actual case part of it or the actual mystery part of this is a bit short, but it's very much needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
So,
fast. November is National Native American Heritage Month.
Yes.
Which is not, it's known, but it's not, which I think it kind of rings a bell, but it's not.
As like,
I want to say I don't want to say advertised, but I feel like that's what it is.
There's
like
not enough awareness around it. Right.
Correct.
And so, and breast cancer awareness month and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So learn something new every day.
Yes. So as we go through this mystery, think about the personality traits that you inherited from your family. There's different quirks that I have from my family. I know like there's like something about furrowing my brow, or there's a lot of times where I'll meet someone and they'll be like, oh my gosh, your sister makes those same gestures. And it's things like, I haven't seen my sisters in a few years, you know?
Yeah.
I don't readily pick up on those things, but outsiders are like, oh no, your sister does that all the time. So there's traits like that. Then there's things that I say. There's the way that I say words. There's also the way that I cope with things, or the way that I deal with different issues or situations that, you know, I inherited from my family. And in recent years, I've realized whether they're bad or good, and I've been able to like guide them in the right direction. But
yeah.
So just think about those types of things as we go through this case. So we've all heard about the Highway of Tears, or I think a lot of us have, which is a very, very important, I guess, series of events that is good to know and important to know and raise awareness about. But have you heard of the Rapid City Drownings?
Not at all.
Yeah, me neither. I did a lot of piecemealing, finding different bits of information, a lot of research on my own. And I'll talk about the journalist, one of the main journalists that I read his articles. And we'll also talk about, I mean, really, it hasn't been covered on any other podcast. It hasn't been covered on any TV show. It hasn't been covered barely in mainstream media.
Yeah.
There were little bits and pieces here and there, but for the most part, I got this from Indian news articles or Native American news articles, and there were a couple of medium articles and a couple of mainstream news articles. So this mystery surrounds the Lakota tribe.
Okay.
And the Lakota tribe is obviously a Native American tribe. And they're also known as the Teton Sioux tribe. And they're one of three main subcultures of the Sioux tribes. However, Sioux is a settler term.
Ah.
And the correct name for the tribe is Lakota.
Gotcha.
So we're going to try to avoid saying Sioux.
Is that Sioux, the S-I-O-U-X?
Yeah.
Sioux? Okay.
Yeah.
And Lakota are in?
That's where we're going to talk right now.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. That was a really good transition.
I've been looking at maps, so yeah. I was like, Lakota is like near the Dakotas or in.
Yes, Dakota? It's yeah. In their lands are in North and South Dakota. They likely originated in the lower Mississippi River region and migrated to the Ohio Valley.
Gotcha.
They are agriculturalists. Early Lakota history is recorded in their winter counts, which is super interesting because. This is before any settlers came, anything. This is their paper history. This is what they wrote down.
So they had, so it's not all oral.
No. So it's That's a cool. single pictograph symbolizing each year based on the most memorable event of that year. That's so cool. There's one where there was a meteor shower. And so they had a teepee and they had like different stars surrounding it. And for the Lakota people, the years ran from the first snowfall to the next snowfall.
Wow.
Or to the next, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know.
Winter.
First snowfall to the following snowfall.
Yeah.
Like of the next time. Because you go through the different seasons.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have calendars, you know.
Yeah.
So the Batiste Good Winter Count records Lakota history back to 900.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a lot of. That's a lot.
I do when I, because my next case is a Native one, like I was like, we've been here hundreds of years. They've been here for thousands. Like
yeah.
Literally thousands.
Oh yeah. And even before that, I yeah. know like this is just when they started recording.
Yeah.
Batiste Good's Lakota name, Batiste Good was obviously a man. And his Lakota name was Wapostangi or Brown Hat.
Okay.
He was born in 1821, and he was the leader of the Tiglabu Tiospe within the Sikangu Oyat tribe. He was also present at the negotiations for the 1868 Treaty of Fort Laramie, which I'll touch more on in a bit. His son, High Hawk, would end up inheriting his father's responsibility as a winter count keeper. So Baptiste Good died in 1894, and High Hawk maintains the calendar through 1912.
Wow.
Baptiste Good winter count contains over 500 years of history. And his was unique in that he gathered all of the information about what year corresponded with each pictograph from his elders before they all passed away.
Wow.
Yeah. So whenever settlers came and they were said, you know, today it's 1643 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's this year. He took that information and went back and was able to match different years to the different symbolizations or pictures created.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The Lakota population was first estimated at 8,500 in 1805, and it reached 16,110 in 1881. It's one of the few Native American tribes to increase their population in the 19th century.
Wow.
It's now increased to over 170,000.
Wow.
And only 2,000 now speak the Lakota language.
That's really sad.
Yeah. So let's go back to that treaty. Let's first talk about the 1851 Treaty of Fort Laramie. There's a couple of different treaties of Fort Laramie.
Okay.
It was negotiated to protect travelers on the Oregon Trail, which we all know from the game Oregon Trail, where everyone died.
We all died of malaria. I understand. We all drowned in the river.
Yeah. Worst game ever.
I just wanted to get to Oregon. It just never happened.
The Cheyenne and Lakota were attacking immigrant parties as a competition for resources. Mm. On the other side, the settlers were trespassing on their lands.
Shocker.
Yeah. So the treaty acknowledged the Lakota sovereignty over the Great Plains. Mm-hmm. The Great Plains is a very large area.
Mm-hmm. It's not little plains.
No. This is going to dwindle down, by the way.
I'm sure it is.
They allowed settlers free passage on the Oregon Trail as long as the river flows and the eagle flies. And that's how they said, you know, that's how they captured time in the treaty.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. The U.S. government did not enforce the treaty restriction against unauthorized settlement. Lakota and other tribes attacked the settlers for breaking the treaty, and this caused public pressure on the U.S. Army to punish these tribes. So on September 3rd, 1855, 700 soldiers attacked the Lakota village in Nebraska, killing about 100 men, women, and children. A series of short wars came after between 1862 and 1864. The refugees fled west. The Lakota refugees fled west to their allies in Montana. Mm-hmm. So the settlers continued to settle in their lands and continued to break the treaty.
Shocker.
The Black Hills were considered sacred by the Lakota. Mm-hmm. Between 1866 and 1868, the U.S. Army fought the Lakota over land to build U.S. forts that protect traveling miners. So they were mining mountains for gold.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the Black Hills, isn't that where? Okay. Continue.
You can finish your thought.
Oh, I didn't want
to. No, you're fine.
So the Black Hills is where Mount Rushmore is.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 1868, the United States signed the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, obviously. Another treaty.
That's before 1870 and after 1855.
Yeah, great timing. Great with the timing. It exempted the Black Hills from all white settlement forever.
Okay.
And obviously we know how this turns out because Mount Rushmore is there.
Yeah. But
4 years later, gold was discovered in the Black Hills.
Great.
This brought prospectors.
And murder.
Yes. The attacks on settlers and miners were renewed, of course, because the treaty was broken yet again.
And gold everywhere made everyone murder everybody. So
yeah, troops were encouraged to hunt and kill buffalo as a means of destroying the Indians' commissary. And that was a quote, to destroy their commissary, because that's where, you know, their main source of food was through buffalo.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't Lakota, but I watched a documentary that was about them getting food sovereignty in certain areas. It was somewhere over there. He wasn't Lakota. I can't remember what tribe he was, but he was trying to bring the buffalo back because he was like, it wasn't just their food. Their houses were made out of buffalo skin. They used every part of
the
animal. They
kept warm with it.
Yeah. So exactly.
That's really like a huge detriment to their culture.
Yeah. You're destroying literally their way of life.
Right.
When you kill off their buffalo.
So battles were won back and forth. Lakota would win a battle. The U.S. would win a battle. Congress then authorized funds to expand the army that was battling the Lakota to 2,500 men, or by 2,500 men. This strengthened the U.S. Army to defeat the Lakota and their allies, ending the Great Sioux War in 1877. The Lakota were then confined onto reservations and prevented from hunting buffalo and forced to accept government food distribution. The Lakota bands signed a treaty that ceded the Black Hills to the U.S. The nature of this treaty and its passage were very controversial because the number of Lakota leaders that backed the treaty is highly disputed. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that all of these elders and all of these, you know, the heads of these tribes were at the signing of this, but really,
I doubt it.
Yeah, not everyone there that signed was actually there.
Yeah.
Today, the Lakota are found mostly in 5 reservations of western South Dakota, northeastern Montana, northwestern North Dakota, Saskatchewan, which I have a cousin there. Mm-hmm. If she's listening, hello.
Hi, cousin. Hi, Saskatchewan cousin.
Manitoba, and then a large number of the Lakota live in Rapid City, South Dakota, and in other towns in the Black Hills, along with the Metro Denver area.
Okay.
Let's talk about Rapid City. Mm-hmm. It is the second most populous city in South Dakota. It's named after the Rapid Creek, where the city was first developed. So it started around the creek and grew outwards from there. It's in the western part of the state, and it's home to the Dinosaur Park, which is a big tourist attraction. The city
Full of dinosaurs?
I think it's full of fake dinosaurs. Or maybe it's like... Maybe
I mean, there are like a bones. Lot of there are
it could
a lot
be
of
bones, yeah,
dinosaurs up there in like Montana and stuff.
So maybe it's like a big archaeological area. I don't know,
like the tar pits or something,
right?
Yeah.
The City of Presidents walking tour, Chapel in the Hills, Storybook Island, Main Street Square, and the historic Old West town of Deadwood is nearby.
Hmm.
It's considered the gateway to the Black Hills, which, as we mentioned, has Mount Rushmore, yep, along with the Crazy Horse Memorial. Rapid City has a population of 67,956 residents.
That's huge.
80% of them are white, 12% are Native American, 1% are African American, and the rest are Asian, Pacific Islander, Hispanic, or Latino. The worst natural disaster in South Dakota history happened there. It's called the Black Hills Flood of 1972, where heavy rains caused massive flash flooding to the city and 238 people died. More than $100 million in property was destroyed.
Wow.
Today, Rapid City is South Dakota's primary city for tourism and recreation. So now that we know the city, and now that we know a little bit about the tribe.
Like literally anything about one of the Dakotas.
Right. Let's talk about the United States v. Sioux Nation of Indians, which was a court case in 1980. The Supreme Court awarded $122 million to eight bands of Sioux Indians as compensation for their Black Hills land claim. Mm-hmm. So I'm using Sioux here only because that's what was in the court documents.
Yeah.
So basically... the Sioux Indians sued the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
for their based on the treaties that everyone had signed. And the U.S., the Supreme Court, awarded them $122 million, which the Sioux refused. Good for them.
Good.
And accepting the settlement would legally terminate their demands for return of the Black Hills. They wanted their land back.
Yeah.
They don't, I mean, that it's such a settler's thing is money. And they want land.
Yeah.
That's so the money remains in the Bureau of Indian Affairs account, accruing compound interest. And as of 2011, the account has grown to over $1
billion.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's not, that doesn't pay back for everything.
Does not pay back for everything.
We did to them at all, so.
No. And I mean, think about the Black Hills and how much that real estate there is worth.
Yeah.
It's worth way more than $1 billion.
And it's still, so besides the actual Mount Rushmore, is it pretty much, because it's protected land though, isn't it? Because isn't it like a national park or forest or
yeah.
whatever?
Yeah, a lot
so
of
it's not,
is.
It's not like it's touched and like,
right.
you know, a city
isn't there.
I'm
sure that there's some things. Yeah, there's probably yeah. some things. I just don't know exactly what.
Yeah.
So again, a little background before we get into the actual mystery. I would like to talk about homelessness amongst Native Americans and alcoholism amongst Native Americans. Mm-hmm. Native Americans are the majority of Rapid City's homeless population. There's a huge need for housing, not only in Rapid City, but for Native Americans all over the United States.
Yeah.
It's the root cause of hardships that Native Americans face, which is homelessness. Statewide, South Dakota, Native Americans own homes at half the rate of whites. Native Americans make less than 1.5% of the population in the United States. There's 5.6 million Native Americans and Alaskan Natives total. Native Americans that grew up on reservations face even more hurdles. They're not familiar with the local government processes and operations because they lived and grew up on reservations. Getting an ID can be a struggle. Mm-hmm. And without an ID, you can't have a job. Mm-hmm. There's no additional assistance, and paperwork usually isn't available in indigenous languages, which, as I mentioned, there's very few that speak that language, but also there's very few that can speak English. I don't know how to say it right. Appropriately, but properly? I don't know.
Yeah.
But they learn it secondhand, you know?
Yeah.
For instance, the Northern Arapaho tribe in Wyoming has a population of 11,000.
Wow.
There are only 230 homes on the reservation. Mm. 55% of the population qualifies as homeless, and there's an urgent need for 68,000 housing units to reduce overcrowding and replace deteriorating houses. So not only do they not have houses, but the houses that were built for them are completely like, decrepit.
Up.
Yeah, 68,000 housing units is very close to the number needed to reduce the homeless population in New York City.
Wow.
Generally, the homeless Native Americans will drift from one family member's home to another.
Yeah, like couch surfing.
Yep. That's 11,000 people.
Couch surfing.
Yeah. Native Americans experience substance abuse and addiction at much higher rates than other ethnic groups. Factors that can contribute to it are economic disadvantage. They suffer high rates of unemployment, as we mentioned. 20% of Native Americans live at or below the U.S. poverty level, which is double the rate of Caucasians. They have below average rates of holding high school and college degrees. Less than 1 in 5 Native Americans earn a bachelor's degree. They are less likely to have health insurance and access to medical care, which is a big one. There's also cultural loss and historical trauma. Native Americans have a higher risk of suffering from psychological distress, poor health, and they don't have any means or access to resources to remedy that.
So
there's no therapists. And number one, therapists are still considered
a luxury.
A luxury. Not only that, but also you're considered weak if you go to a therapist,
right.
Which is a huge stigma that needs to change in the U.S.
Yes. That documentary I was watching.
Yeah.
Called Gather, which everyone should watch. It was great. It's on iTunes. I had to pay for it, but I had like a gift card and it was like $5. And I was like, but it's going to good things. So I don't really mind. It's not like I'm just giving Disney more money. They talked about being in food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, which contributes to the alcoholism and diabetes and cancer, because their only access to food is like a gas station.
Yes.
They don't have not all of them. Obviously, this does not apply to everybody, no. But there's a lot of native lands. That's literally it. They don't have restaurants. They don't have grocery stores. So they grow up eating the food that we find in gas stations, which is packed full of sugar and chemicals and it's nasty, nasty. It's not really food.
No.
So that's another disparity that is on them that leads to health problems.
Yes. And we will touch on that.
Yeah.
Many experts propose that the brutality and loss experienced by Native Americans after Europeans colonized the United States led to historical trauma. The loss of population, land, culture, all of that caused unresolved grief to be transmitted across generations of Native Americans, likely leading to the development of negative coping mechanisms such as drinking. Then it becomes generational as children see that it's the acceptable way to cope with something so traumatic.
Yep. And it's easier for some of them to get heroin than it is to get a banana. Right.
Native Americans are also at more at risk of having their family members split apart by the state as compared to the general population. Today, they're CPS. Decades ago, children of Native Americans were forced into boarding schools where they were not permitted to use their own language or even their own names. Ugh. Just last year, it was discovered that 2,800 Indigenous children died in state-run boarding schools in Canada during the 19th and 20th centuries.
Ugh.
150,000 had been forcibly enrolled in these schools.
I'm sorry that our ancestors were so disgusting.
Yeah. So let's touch on the health issues. Native Americans have a high rate of diseases, including diabetes, heart disease, cancer, obesity, liver disease, and hepatitis. Stress hormones are known to suppress the immune system, which are main causes of these diseases. The diseases also lead to chronic stress, which increases the risk of alcohol abuse and addiction. The link between addiction and trauma has been well established. The more trauma you experience, the greater your risk of developing an addiction. Tom Lawrence, who is a journalist and one that I got a lot of different information from, said, "But racism was also readily evident in Rapid City. Native Americans felt its sting and many turned to alcohol and drugs. They had suffered a lot of pain in their lives and a drink or 10 eased the agony." Ugh. Yeah.
I do want to just note that not all Native Americans are like that. Because I feel like whenever we do hear about how their lives are, it's a lot of focus on alcoholism and everything and drug use and everything. But I do know that there are some natives that have gotten out of that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Have great, not, I don't want to say great lives because obviously there's still all of that cultural right. stress and trauma and everything. That's all. That was my 2 cents.
Yeah. And I,
it's not like a stereotype.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah. And like I've mentioned before, I traveled to Alaska and I traveled to a lot of these different villages and met with a lot of different tribes. And a lot of them don't suffer from alcoholism. A lot of them are able to cope healthily.
Yeah.
But it still is a risk. Yeah. It still is a very high risk.
I had a boyfriend in high school that was Native American. He was Ojibwe, which is like Winnipeg, Minnesota mm-hmm. type of area. And I don't think he drank at all, but I think he had family members that, you know what I mean? And he coped and he had other issues as a human being, but that's different.
Right.
But yeah, like he wasn't an alcoholic. He did smoke cigarettes. I think that was it.
So now let's get into the victims or the actual mystery. I did a lot of research to find these cases, the causes of death, and articles that pertained to the singular circumstances of these victims. I could not find some of it. And that doesn't mean that it didn't happen. I fully believe that it happened. I've read it in very credible news sources that it happened. I just could not find particular articles pertaining to these, which isn't surprising given that between 1998 and 2000, which is when these deaths occurred, Native American deaths weren't really covered in the media as heavily as they would be today if that if it even would be covered today.
I was going to say, they're not even really. A little bit. They're paving away a little bit, but it's not enough.
I'm going to name the victim, the age of their death, and then if I found details, I'll tell you the details.
Great.
The first death was Ben Longwolf. He was 36 when he died. He was intoxicated, and he slept through his own drowning. Mm. Police say he never even noticed. Police say. This is Rapid City Police. So I would just want to note that because this may or may not be true.
Are Rapid City Police tribal police? Or
no.
State police.
Okay. They're city police.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're called.
Yeah. So the Rapid City Police say that he never noticed the water rising under the bridge. He was found under a bridge. And the water, rose up and he was too intoxicated to realize it and ended up drowning. That's according to police. Mm. George Hatton was found 10 days later. He was 56 years old, and I could not find any details on his death. Just a quick note. These are the deaths that happened between 1998 and 2000, and there were 11 total.
Okay.
So 11 people within 2 years mysteriously died.
Yeah. And when was the first one? Did you say a month?
It was 1998, but I don't know the month.
Okay. Sorry.
Continue. I think I might touch on that a little bit later.
Okay.
Alan Hoff was 42. He was fined 5 days after George. He was white. Mm-hmm. He was not intoxicated, and I could not find any other details.
Hmm.
Royce Yellowhawk was 26. He was shot in June 1999. I'm not sure if this is accurate. The date of the death was off on this other article that I found, but I did see that Robert Larvey, who was 18, was charged with aiding and abetting first-degree murder. Dustin Segrist was 17, and he was charged with first-degree murder. Police say that Larvey helped Segrist with the murder of Royce Yellowhawk, and officers found the pistol that they believe was used in the murder hidden in Larvey's home.
And are they native or non-native?
I believe that these two are non-native. I believe these two are white gentlemen. Yeah. Randall Two Crow is our next victim. He was 48. I could find no details. Lauren Tubles was 33. I found no details. Dirk Bartling was 44. He was white. He was found by a fisherman on May 29th. 1999, I believe. Arthur Chamberlain was 45. He was found 9 days after Dirk. No details. Timothy Bull Bear Sr. was 47. He was found 3 weeks after Arthur in July 1999. So we were right in the year. Lonnie Isham was 43. I found no information. And then Wilbur G. Johnson was 41 when he was beaten to death and his killer was arrested. And this is after, like, his killer was arrested, yes. And so his murder was solved, but it's the succession of these deaths.
Yeah.
So obviously the biggest thing is the timing. The first mm-hmm. three men died in a span of 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 6 months passed without another body. And then over the course of 2 days in early December 1998, two more bodies were found. 5 months passed, and then three more died in just over a month.
That's so
bizarre. You see, like, this
is like a pattern almost. Right. Yeah.
Three, a break. Three, two, a break. Three. So I want to talk about a couple of additional deaths that happened. Mm-hmm. In January 2020, 29-year-old Anthony De Leon was found partially submerged in Rapid Creek. He wasn't wearing a sweater or a jacket, and there were no reports of alcohol or drugs in his system.
What month did you say?
January. So it's
cold.
Yeah.
There.
In Rapid City. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's cold.
This is why, like, that it reminded everyone of these prior deaths that happened in 1998 and 2000. And everyone was saying, number one, is there a serial killer in Rapid City that is drowning, maybe intoxicated, maybe not intoxicated, but somehow overpowering and drowning these indigenous people or Native Americans? The deaths started in May 1998. Bodies began showing up in Rapid Creek. Many of the men were described as sharp and funny. They were all Native American and homeless. There were six homeless Native Americans, and two were white homeless men. Mm-hmm. So six Native Americans, two white men, all were homeless. Mm-hmm. Alcohol was found in most of the victims. There was no signs of trauma on the bodies. So there's no bruises or anything like that.
Except for the one that was shot.
Right.
They were the two that were murdered. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then four of the Native Americans were found face down in the creek.
Okay.
So let's talk about the response from the Lakota tribe. Mm-hmm. Stacy Lodog of the Lakota tribe also believes that the deaths were foul play. She organized volunteers to patrol along the creek to improve safety. And this is when all of the murders slowed or stopped, according to Native American newspapers. Mm-hmm. The LA Times reported that they stopped when the police began searching the creek. And I just wanted to make that note because the police didn't really search the creek. They weren't patrolling the creek. They weren't really doing anything.
Yeah.
And the LA Times is based in LA, so I don't know why they're
basing it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the rumors started circulating in the community, and they blamed young white people who harassed the homeless by the creek. Mm. Stacy's cousin said that he escaped after one of the white boys grabbed him and held his head underwater. So kudos to Stacy for putting this patrol group together. And also, this is where the mystery comes into play, because it'd be very easy to take, I don't know how to say it, but take over or take control of someone who is highly intoxicated.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk in just a couple minutes about another group of young teens that were doing this exact same thing. They were taking advantage of homeless people because, number one, they did it for fun, ugh, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And also because they could. I mean, they could do it and get away with it. And no one was really investigating this.
Raise your kids better. Sorry.
Continue. Yeah. In March 1999, a drunk driver struck and killed a young Native American man. The grand jury indicted the driver on a charge of vehicular manslaughter. Prosecutors reduced the charge to driving while intoxicated, and this was in Rapid City.
So, I don't know the laws there. In Maine, vehicular manslaughter, you don't drive no more.
Right.
You're done. Your license is gone.
So they probably felt bad for this young driver who was just happened to be intoxicated.
Don't care. Don't drive drunk.
Yeah.
Accept their punishment.
In June 1999, the body of another young Native American man was found stuffed headfirst into a garbage can. Charges against four white teens were dropped when the autopsy revealed that the man had died of alcohol poisoning. So, yeah. In August 9th.
So what, did he fall into the trash can?
Like, no, they definitely, so these kids, the four teens were harassing him and abusing him.
Yeah.
Because he was intoxicated. They flipped him over into a trash can, a dumpster.
But that wasn't his cause of death, was alcohol.
Yeah, unfortunately, that wasn't the cause of death. Well, not unfortunately.
Not unfortunately, but.
If it would have been the cause of death, these kids would have been charged. Punished. And the charges would have stuck.
Yeah.
In August 1999, two Native Americans were found beaten to death in a culvert, and no one has been arrested in that case. Since 2000, some others have been found dead in the creek, and online reporters looked into the deaths to find a reason. In 2001, Royal Yellowhawk was 26 when his body was found near the creek. In November 2008, Dolores Mesteth was found dead. The morning after a blizzard, they reported that she fell asleep by a bridge, and the media reported her as homeless, but she had an apartment. Betsy, you're snoring.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
I thought it was your phone vibrating.
No. She would meet under the bridge with other Native Americans, and they would just drink, sing, and enjoy their time together. Police say there was no indication that she was attacked, and when her body was found, rumors stirred again about, is it foul play? Mm. Now let's talk about the police response to the 1998 and 2000 deaths.
So that was the Lakota response.
Yeah.
Okay.
FBI and some additional deaths that were just kind of, I sprinkled in there because I'm showing that.
Yeah.
The causes of the death are always let go. So the white people are always let go, or and the kids are always given another chance. Mm-hmm. And there's other mysterious deaths that have happened since that time period that there's still no answers for. And I have reason to believe they weren't investigated properly.
I have reason to side with you.
Yeah. FBI behaviorists were called upon to see whether a serial killer was at work. In June 2009, the Rapid City Journal interviewed the county sheriff, Don Holloway. He mentioned every lead was investigated. He does not believe that they were accidental, since so many deaths in a short amount of time happened and then they stopped. Captain James Johns, never trust a man with two first names. Captain James Johns was a criminal part of the Criminal Investigations Division. He noted that the Rapid City Police Department and Sheriff's Office worked several investigations. They were reviewed by the staff of the Mid-States Organized Crime Information Center and FBI. Results came back that there was nothing to identify, nothing identified to indicate criminal events. And it was not categorized as unsolved deaths either, even though
they are.
Yeah. So let's make a quick trip over to Denver.
To the airport?
Not the airport. Oh, God.
Sorry.
I mean, this is I think this is while it was being built, actually.
Yeah, late 90s.
Yeah. Whoa.
Dun, dun, dun.
After the death stopped in Rapid City, the same thing started happening in Denver. Were mysterious deaths of Lakota men or Lakota people. Also, this is a very interesting case because it is men that are the
victims. And not women, yeah. And
not women. I mean, there was, I think, like
I think you said a woman.
Yeah, but the majority is men, and that's usually not what a serial killer goes after. But what a serial killer does go after is vulnerable people. And
because it's a power play.
Yes, and when you're homeless and intoxicated, you are vulnerable. One of the deaths in Denver was a Lakota man from Rapid City that was researched, but I researched it, but I couldn't find anything, and there was no name mentioned in any of the articles. In the LA Times article, they mentioned they found the guy they think spray painted a racist slogan on the side of Sixth Street Bridge, but quickly cleared him and waved a happy goodbye when he moved to Denver. So that was a direct quote. So there, Sixth Street Bridge is in Rapid City. Mm-hmm. It's one of the bridges that there was a body found under. And there was a racist slogan. I don't know what the racist slogan is. Not that I would say it on here. But he spray painted a racist slogan and they let him go. They didn't investigate him. And he moved to Denver. Which is, I want to know who they're talking about, but I could not find a name.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything related to this, but he moved to Denver, and then like the same thing started happening in Denver where Native Americans are found dead. So this is going to be a direct quote from an independent article in, it's called Independent is the paper, but it's a UK paper. Okay. So it's from the United Kingdom. Five down and outers were bludgeoned to death between September and November, striking terror into the small homeless community who hover around Union Station. Last week, eight young men were arrested. This is about the Denver deaths.
Yeah.
Last week, eight young men were arrested and the Colorado Capitol thought the trauma was over. Then on Wednesday, two bodies were found decapitated in a weed-strewn field behind the station and the city descended into panic. The police do not know if the murders are at work, are the work of a serial killer, part of a gang war, or the work of sick copycats inspired by reports of the crimes. The arrests were a roundup of mall rats, semi-vagrant teenagers who roam the pedestrian shopping area on Denver's 16th Street. Three were charged for one of the beating deaths. The others were accused of assault.
Well, I have no word. I'm speechless. So
yeah.
Just continue.
Well, this is where we go into theories, where I still have some story in here, but it's as we discuss each of the different theories. So after the theories, I have some updates and some other things that
the good updates
are of note. There's one good update.
That's good.
What?
I was prepared for a bummer, but
yeah,
it's just always a bummer. I don't know. Yeah.
The first theory is, was it an accident? Were these accidental deaths? So the first thing I did whenever I realized that this would be a theory was I researched drunk drownings.
I was going to ask also about like river, how that river, you know what I mean? There's a river near where I grew up that there is actually like a curse from Native people on that river because it takes so many lives. And
right.
Even today in the 2020, it takes, well, I don't know about this year because no one's going out anyway, but it takes lives still because
right.
It sometimes it gets really, really rapidy and rough and people drown. So,
well, considering that it's called Rapid Creek, I would assume that,
it gets
rapid and it gets a bit rough. And from the sound of the like articles, personally, I've never been to South Dakota, but from the sound of the articles, the river rises and lowers, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was curious of. Like, how is the flooding or the.
Yeah. I mean, there was that one major flood, but other than that.
Yeah.
So the percentage of drowning victims with a measurable blood alcohol concentration is 30 to 70%. The percentage of drowning deaths attributed to alcohol use appears to be between 10 and 30%. The risk of drowning increases with increasing blood alcohol concentration. So the more you drink, the higher the risk of drowning. So it is possible to drown whenever you are intoxicated.
Near water.
Near water. I think that a lot of it is in bathtubs. Where people will be drinking and they'll fall asleep in the tub and go under it and won't realize it. So it is a thing.
Not surprising.
Let's touch on the murder and then we can like go back and forth on what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Murder is the other theory. I only have two theories. Accident or murder.
Most deaths are either accident or
murder.
Or old age. That's about it.
Yeah.
And none of these were old age, so that cancels that one out.
Could it have been unruly kids, as mentioned before? And before we go into that, I would like to discuss an incident from the 80s in Farmington, New Mexico. Several white teen boys murdered intoxicated Navajo men by bashing their heads in with rocks. They were apprehended after several killings. They were all teenagers, so they were sentenced as teens. All of them were out of juvie after serving only a few years.
Yep.
A 2014 survey conducted in Albuquerque found more than 3 out of 4 Native Americans experiencing homelessness had dealt with some sort of attack while living on the street.
New Mexico has the worst crime against Native people in all of the states.
Yeah.
They're the worst, from police brutality to border town violence.
Yes.
That was a statistic I read. They have it the worst. So, but didn't they, who was just elected there? It was a person of color.
Yeah.
For the House. I don't remember if they were Native or not, but maybe some reform, hopefully.
Yeah. So that's the big question, is accident or murder? It's hard to decipher with such little information about the individual deaths.
Right.
I think that if we were more of an in-depth, you know, researching wise, I could have gone to the police and requested the police reports. And I could have given this a bit more.
No, I get it. Like if we had a team of researchers to go, or money to spare to get archives and
exactly, then I could have dived into this a lot more and a lot deeper, but we don't have those resources.
Which maybe one day we will.
And maybe one day we will.
Return to this.
Yes. And we can revisit and I can be like, this is everything, mm-hmm. guys.
Yeah.
But I don't have that. All I have are news articles and internet research that I could do.
I wonder if there even is any more records, or if they were like, well, they drowned, so that's the cause of death, so they didn't do...
Right.
They didn't look any further, you know? Right.
I honestly don't know. I could see it going both ways. I could see it going either way. I feel that some of them were accidental.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that I could definitely see them being a vulnerable population and people taking advantage of that for their own cruel ways. Yeah. I mean.
Or they're bored. What else? Because.
Yeah, exactly.
I grew up in a small town.
Yep.
People get too. Bored.
Oh, yeah.
Boredom is dangerous.
Yeah. And I was a minority in a small town being gay and out. And what they have left to do but bully, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And that's, you know, and it just is what it is.
Yeah.
So I really think that it's a good, I think that it's a mix.
Oh, a mix. Yeah.
I do think that it's a mix.
I could see it as being a mix. I feel like it wouldn't be one person.
No, I think that it would definitely be a group.
Yeah.
I think that it would, if I was to profile these suspects, I would say that it's a group of teenagers.
Mm-hmm. White teenagers.
White teenagers that are likely in positions of power at school, meaning
like
they're
the
popular. Right.
Or, yeah.
Bullies. And,
yep. Not all football players are bullies. I realize
No.
But
I had no friends that were football players, but
I was gonna say I don't think I did.
I was like trying to think back to it. I don't think I did, but
I was friends with all the theater kids, so
yeah, me too.
Group of weirdos.
Yeah, that's where you fit. Like that's where I always fit.
Yeah,
and I knew I was safe there.
Yeah, because they're so accepting and loving.
Uh huh.
And they just want to sing.
So. Right. So.
Yeah.
That's where I am as far as the theories go.
I think it's interesting that they got rid of that one guy and then stuff started happening where he went. But
I remember there's no other concrete information. I couldn't find a name or anything like that. But yeah. I think it's very interesting.
But maybe he had...
I wish that we could go back and find out who he was, or if the LA Times had any information about that, but they would probably be rude and make us pay for it like they do for everything else.
I mean, I'm already out of free articles, so...
Yeah, this was like my last article.
But I hate it because you can like click on them and then it's like subscribe to finish it. And I'm like, well, I read the first chunk. Now I'm interested. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I don't... You have aliens? Are you getting abducted? I feel like it was a group. I feel like some of them were accidents, but there was some type of group. Like you said, I would agree that it's teenagers or at least younger kids, you know, maybe 19, like right before they go to college or whatever.
Right.
Or maybe they're college students coming back home
for winter break or something.
Because
there were
especially because it's like, yeah. And it's, I think the reason I think it would be that in a mix of, because I'm sure accidents happen, but the fact that they all happen clumped together.
That's the biggest thing is the time. Like
five days,
like that's rapid succession. And then a break. Like it's
for months. It's,
right. And if I apply what I've learned from Mindhunter and all of those other serial CSI, killer shows, that is something that's standard is they... Yeah. Have a rise and then they have a fall and then they have a rise and then they have a fall. So,
and they probably have a tiny penis.
Yeah, very. So we can come back to theories if you have any further thoughts after I read some of this.
Yeah.
But I wanted to note Tim, and I'm going to say Giago, he wrote a lot of the articles that I found, and he has been an activist for these deaths. He lives in Rapid City. He was Lakota born, mm-hmm. raised and educated on the Pine Ridge Reservation. He's been a writer, editor, and publisher for more than 4 decades.
Wow.
He founded the Native American Journalists Association. That's and amazing. He was inducted into the South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame in 2007.
Good for him.
He, every year, publishes an article about these. Every year. To awesome. Keep the awareness going. So here's a couple of quotes. Since the white man first trespassed on these lands of the Black Hills, it's been open season on the lives of Lakota people. We would like to see the Rapid City Police Department publish an updated report on these deaths and let the Indian community know that the loss of their loved one is not forgotten. There were just too many deaths for it to be purely coincidental. I will continue to write about this until there are some satisfactory explanations provided to the Indian people and the families of the non-Indian homeless men killed these many years ago. Please let us know where this stands today. Entire Lakota families were shot to death by gold miners, trappers, and settlers that invaded their lands. All of these killings, which would be labeled outright murders today, were left unpunished because, after all, they were only killing Indians. Did some of this frontier mentality leak into the minds of present-day law enforcement officers? Were the murders not thoroughly investigated simply because the victims were Indians? We hear this time and again in the communities of African Americans. There are probably thousands of Black men and American Indian men and women locked behind bars because of their race rather than their alleged crimes. Nearly every month, we read about an African American man or woman released from prison after many years because DNA has proven them to be innocent.
Or they're in jail for something that's now legal and white people are making money off of it.
Yeah. This is something that's been, he's been quoting for a couple of years in a couple of articles, and it's been something that he's very passionate about. And his was the first article that I found, and I was just enamored by it and like completely wanted to research more. And that's when I just dug in deeper. And then I saw his postings year after year after year of raising awareness on these deaths.
See, I think if they had any other information, he would have had it.
Yes.
You know, that's why I think like, so I did watch that movie Wind River, which I've seen a couple times. I think it's good, but I have read reviews by Native people being like, yes, this is what's happening, but you're also kind of shoving it in our face. So it's not the best movie.
Right.
I think looking at it from their point of view, and I think they also cast some non-Native people as Native, which is also problematic.
Yeah.
But where was I going with that? What were we talking about? Oh, okay. So in that movie, the woman that is murdered, her
killer.
Cause of death is from, because it's placed in Wyoming, and it's from her lungs bursting from the cold air. So she's not labeled as murder. And that's where the movie gets into like the tribal law, federal lands, like all this stuff about how their laws work for crime,
right.
which I'm researching myself. For my case, although I'm doing Canada, it's not America. So it's just like, I'm wondering if because they drowned, it's making me think of that movie where it was like the coroner was like, she died of this. I can't say that it was murder. And the FBI agent was like, well, if you don't do that, then I have no say here.
Right.
You know, even though she was obviously attacked and was running from somebody or from something.
Right.
So.
But it wasn't the cause of death. you know,
it wasn't the cause of death. So I wonder if like a lot of those were like, they drowned. That's the cause of death. That doesn't right. necessarily mean they were murdered or pushed in or held underwater or
harassed prior anything.
And if it's obvious that that's their cause of death, did they even have a coroner look at it, you right. know, to be like, hey, there is no bruising on the back of their neck or, but if you're really intoxicated, are you, how much are you going to fight back that there would be bruising?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So the Lakota people, they want answers and they want closure. And to date, they've gotten nothing. Some other current activism, NPR did a documentary, I believe, an investigative story called Lost Children, Shattered Families. It exposed what the quote-unquote kidnapping of Lakota children from their homes by the state of South Dakota's Department of Social Services. Activists such as Madonna Thunderhawk and Chase Iron Eyes, along with the Lakota People's Law Project, have made claim that Lakota grandmothers are illegally denied the right to foster their own grandchildren. They are currently working to redirect federal funding away from the DSS to new tribal foster care programs. So the foster care programs would be held within the tribe. Other things to note, Native Americans make up about 0.8% of the population and account for 1.9% of police killings. During COVID, so just this year, the Lakota tribe set up teepees for their homeless so that they would have shelter. The teepees were torn down and police drove by and did nothing. A truck drove through the camp, almost killing a woman intentionally. Police did nothing. Tribe members got a description of the guy, the truck, and the license plate, and police still did nothing. A few days later, another truck drove through again. He was only caught because he ran into the train tracks and his tires were flat. And because he was an out-of-towner, cops did nothing and let him go. Stacy Lodog, remember her? She was the one who set up the patrol along the river and then the killing stopped.
Yeah.
Well, that patrol is still going on to this day, which is amazing and also sad that it has to still happen.
Yeah. Course.
It's been 21 years that that's been going on.
Wow.
Another thing I want to note is that an Antikamek woman, Joyce Eshekwan, was dying in a hospital. She posted a video to Facebook 2 days before she passed away. The nurses were calling her racial slurs as she relayed their dying. They called her stupid as hell, said she was making bad choices, and that she's having good sex more than anyone else because she has 7 children. Because she posted it to Facebook, it sparked protests across Canada to bring an awareness to these issues. The chief described of her tribe described Joyce as radiant and said that the video is audiovisual proof of systematic racism.
Wow.
So when they do go to hospitals to get helped, they're bullied.
That's awful.
Another thing that I want to talk about before we close this is Operation Lady Justice Task Force. Mm-hmm. On November 26, 2019, President Trump signed Executive Order 13898, forming the Task Force on Missing and Murdered American Indians and Alaskan Natives. The task force aims to enhance the operation of the criminal justice system and address the legitimate concerns of American Indian and Alaskan Native communities regarding the missing and murdered people, particularly missing and murdered women and girls. 84% of American Indian and Alaskan Native women experience violence in their lifetime. Tim Lawrence reports, and we talked about him earlier. Mm-hmm. Tim Lawrence reports the White House did not set up this organization because they care about Indians. They set it up to see if they could capture the Indian vote. Be aware of that. Native women claim Operation Lady Justice is not looking into the reasons why so many of their sisters disappear. They say that Trump's hasty approval of pipelines through tribal territory will contribute to higher rates of violence by bringing outsiders into their communities. Within Lady Justice, Operation Lady Justice, there's now a division dedicated to help solve cold cases. The Bureau of Indian Affairs opened 7 Operation Lady Justice offices around the country, but have yet to investigate anything. But this, in their defense, it only happened a year ago.
And COVID and everything.
And COVID and everything happened. However, just nothing has been done, you know?
Yeah.
And they held a meeting, and I watched a little bit about the meeting where these Native American women were coming up and just demanding, like, what are you looking into? Yeah. Number one, Tim Lawrence and Tom Giago. I'm sorry, Tom Lawrence and Tim Giago, they are both wrote that they hope that these Rapid City drownings are looked into or among the cases that are opened, even though they're about men.
I mean, just hoping still that, lives are lives.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But the fact that 84% of Native women experience violence is a pretty rough thing. That's a lot of people. That's like the majority of Native American women.
And it's normally, statistically, it's non-Natives. It's Native women on Native land committed by non-Natives.
Yeah.
And then there's, I'll talk about it more in my episode because I don't have my notes in front of me for like actual, you know, everything. But there was a law passed in the 70s, 80s, because tribal law enforcement, I talk about all this in my stuff. Tribal law enforcement cannot, actually I might've taken it out. I don't remember. Tribal law enforcement could not punish. They had no jurisdiction over non-natives. So non-natives, and for a little bit of time, they had no jurisdiction of natives that were just not part of that tribe.
The tribe, right. They weren't on the reservation.
That lasted for like 6 months. And then that changed. But non-natives felt like they were immune. So, yeah. And then a lot of like tribal law enforcement, they only have two or three law officers, and it's over crazy mileage, and the likeliness of you actually catching a person is really low. So women don't report it very often because there's kind of no point, because it takes, you know, that one officer might take a couple hours to get to you. And then you have to then try to find this non-Native person that you don't, like, you have jurisdiction. They have jurisdiction, but I don't know to what degree that those laws are
right
followed, or I think it's just hard because they don't even catch them.
Right.
And then like Obama signed a law. Yeah, I did take this out because my case is in Canada. So Obama signed a law in 2000 and something. I don't remember. But a lot of the language was like, it was like, this new law encourages new training facilities, new officers being hired, new blah, blah, blah. Them having access to research databases, like fingerprints and making sexual offender lists and all that stuff. But the language was encourages, which I didn't like. And I think a lot of those tribal courts and officers don't have the funding for any of that.
Right.
So I don't know if that law actually changed anything.
Yeah.
I'm sure it did in some places. It's all very, it's very messy. And then I think it just caused like a state of confusion. So who has jurisdiction over what is very, it's confusing. But non-natives feel immune.
Yep.
So
that's what's sad. And that really, we just need to find a solution. And one that they are happy with, I think, is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Well, any last thoughts?
It all sucks.
Yeah, it does. And I am sorry to like throw such a bummer episode out there for Thanksgiving, but hey, it's got to be better than spending it with your family, especially during a voting year.
I think it's, my dad's a hippie and is super anti-Trump, which is nice.
My dad's the complete opposite.
I have other family members that I'm sure are whatever.
Yeah, my family is very 50-50.
Yeah. Because I too come
I from still small love town. Each and every one of them.
Yep. Well, I do think it's good to talk about these things before Thanksgiving, so that no one's yelling about Christopher Columbus when it's the wrong holiday to yell about Christopher Columbus on.
Yeah.
I mean, we should yell about him all the time, but
in a different manner.
It's not related to Thanksgiving. No. And I think it's because I traced my family back to the Mayflower, which is like cool, but like I know they did fucked up shit. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, and they stayed in that Northeast. So I could have had ancestors that were involved with the first Thanksgiving. And I'm sorry. I don't.
Yeah. If you or someone you know has information about these murders or unresolved deaths, please contact the Rapid City Police Department, or better yet, contact the FBI. You can also feel free to email us at MrReticle@gmail.com. Follow us at MrReticle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok, and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, please tell all your friends about us. Don't play with strangers.
And don't trust your government.
Especially that.
Especially.
What are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? Was that good?
Yeah, do you like 3 or 4?
What are you grateful for? What are you grateful for?